Very early the next morning, I heard him up and astir, wandering from one room to another. As soon as Mary came down, I heard the question, "Is Miss Eyre here?" Then, "Which room did you put her into? Was it dry? Is she up? Go and ask if she wants anything, and when she will come down." I came down as soon as I thought there was a prospect of breakfast. Entering the room very softly, I had a view of him before he discovered my presence. It was mournful, indeed, to witness the subjugation of that vigorous spirit to a corporeal infirmity. He sat in his chair, still but not at rest, expectant, evidently, the lines of now habitual sadness marking his strong features. His countenance reminded one of a lamp quenched, waiting to be relit, and alas, it was not himself that could now kindle the lustre of animated expression. He was dependent on another for that office. I had meant to be gay and careless, but the powerlessness of the strong man touched my heart to the quick. Still, I accosted him with what vivacity I could. "It is a bright sunny morning, sir," I said. "The rain is over and gone, and there is a tender shining after it. You shall have a walk soon." I had wakened the glow. His features beamed. "Oh, you are indeed there, my skylark. Come to me. You're not gone, not vanished. I heard one of your kind an hour ago, singing high over the wood, but its song had no music for me, any more than the rising sun had rays.